Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a
city. Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we usually broadcast on Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but we had to move this program today to this time slot. So anyway, this is a live call-in show, and if you'd like to call in anytime during the show, my guest is going to be Robin Hare, and we will be talking about tithing. Can a man bribe God? Are we commanded to tithe, or does God curse us? So we will be talking about all that today. And if you'd like to call in, our call-in number is 914-338-1633. 38, and you can call in a question if you have one. Also, the chat room is open, so please go to the chat room also if you have any questions, and we will be looking for your questions and your comments. We also have a YouTube channel, and our YouTube channel is Jonah T for Tom 48, and I'm also starting a new YouTube channel. It's not really 100% up. I mean, it's there, and I have two videos on there. I don't have any new videos on there, but that channel will be Prophetic News TV, and that's the kind of TV that you should be watching, is something that's edifying, and well, I mean, you can watch other TV, too, but if you want to learn some good word, that will be there for you. Also, our website, propheticnews.com, and we have some great articles there. I know that you'll love some of the articles. Most of them are not written by me. I have links to many, many web pages where there's people that know a lot more than I do about certain subjects. And I know I've learned so much from other people. That's one wonderful blessing about the body of Christ, isn't it? Because we can learn from each other. And we don't have to get angry at each other because we disagree. Although we can have righteous indignation about some of the things that people are teaching. We can be upset about those some of the false prophets and the false teachers that are out there. So, you know, we're going to talk today about tithing. Can a man bribe God? And I know that your pastor or your favorite TV preacher probably has told you, can a man rob God? But we are going to talk today about, can a man bribe God? And we know that we've been redeemed from the curse, so it's impossible for God to curse us. Also, if you look in the book of Exodus, and I'll read you a couple scriptures from the book of Exodus. Exodus 35:16, or let's go to Exodus 35:21, actually. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his servants' service and for his holy garments. I mean, notice that even in the Old Testament, they brought the Lord's offering willingly. Nobody had to beat them over the head with sermon after sermon about you must pay your 10% here or else. Exodus 35:24, and everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. Exodus 35:29, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. I mean, we also know that the Bible talks in 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. And necessity means if you have to. And that's what necessity means. So if somebody's telling you that you have to give a certain amount of money for God to bless you, that is not true. It's just not true. So I'm going to bring my guest on, and she is well-versed in this subject. And so let's see what she has to say today. Hi, Robin.
Hey, Sister Susan. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yes, this is an exciting topic.
Yes, it is. It's an exciting topic, and it's a topic that needs proper interpretation because it's been misused and taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And we would love for people to break free from the tithing myth, because it's just, I can't say every church because I don't know every church, but in the majority of churches, I would dare to say, it's not biblical what they're teaching.
No, and the thing that gets me is, here's people such as Joyce Meyer, Kenneth Copeland, Mike Murdoch, Creflo Dollar,
yes,
John Hagee, all people that are very loved and respected, and they brand themselves as Bible teachers, even some as Bible scholars with the name doctor in front of their name, but yet they don't teach the truth about tithing. And I'm always amazed because I wonder what Bible they're reading or if they're,
yes,
even reading it.
And that's the problem. I think what we need to do as the body of Christ, we need to read the Bible for ourselves. That's where the deception comes in. That's where the trickery comes in, because we are taking the word of a man over the word of God.
Yes.
And unfortunately, with Malachi, the only scriptures that are taught and, of course, twisted is Malachi 3:8-12. I've never heard anyone teach on the entire book of Malachi, because that would totally refute what they teach.
Yeah.
Completely.
I've never heard one of them talk about that either.
No, they won't do it, because then they have to go back. You have to go back to the truth. Who is God speaking to in Malachi? And in chapter 1, verse 6, it makes it very clear who he's speaking to. He's speaking to the corrupt priesthood. And I know, you know, they'll say, oh, but we're priests. No, you're not Levitical priests. You can't even trace the lineage. There's no more temple. You know, who are you going to bring the tithes to? The Levites are the only ones who were supposed to receive the tithes. So who are you giving them to? You have to ask yourself that. And I think what we should do is go over some of these scriptures that are mistaught to bring clarity to them, and We don't want anyone to take our word for it. Read for yourself. Read the whole book, all four chapters, and then go back, because tithing didn't start in Malachi. It goes back, and there's a thread that runs through the Old Testament. Once there's no temple, who are you bringing the tithes to? Tithes, I challenge anyone who's listening to call and give me one scripture, not two, not three, one, where tithes was ever money.
Yes, I challenge anybody to do that too. If anybody that listens to this program or will listen to this program in the future, please email me, Susan@propheticnews.com. If you can prove to me that tithing was ever money,
yeah,
I've never seen that scripture. it's just not there.
It's not. And, you know, we just have to remember in the Malachi prophecy, you know, we have to explain it more thoroughly. We have to read, because only landowners tithe. Only products of the land were tithed. Only Levites could receive the tithe. And tithing was a law of Moses. And if you don't keep the entirety of the law, you're guilty of it. You can't keep one. There were 613 laws. You can't keep one and not keep the rest. It's all or nothing.
Yeah.
And if we could keep the law, then Christ died in vain.
Oh, yes.
And we know that that's not true.
Oh, absolutely. There wasn't anybody that could keep the law. It was impossible, so Jesus came and he wrote his law in our hearts. And when we're born again, then it's easier for us to try to keep the commandments and to serve God, because then we have the Holy Spirit, of course, who convicts us of sin.
Yeah.
And we know that. We know when we're doing wrong. But I find it amazing, too, that, of course, in Deuteronomy, and it's chapter 12, verse 5 through 32. I've never heard a pastor ever tell people that they could actually eat their tithe.
No.
Robin, have you ever heard anybody say that?
No. The only scripture they go to is in the Old Testament, basically, is Leviticus 27, I believe it's 30 through 32. You know, all the tithe of the land, and they'll say belongs to the church. And I think what we should do, go over some of these scriptures in Malachi to bring some clarity. And you can go back, read over them, and then all you have to do is check the cross-references in your Bible. This is nothing new. It will take you back to what the storehouse was. And you're taught in church, oh, the storehouse is the local body where you're taught and you're fed. But that is not true. That's not even scriptural. But, you know, scriptures for the storehouse is, let's see, I had some scriptures for what the storehouse was.
Well, the Bible also says to feed yourself. And
yes.
Not to,
yes, exactly.
So how long? Only babies have to go to have somebody feed them. So you're supposed to grow in the things of God, and you no longer need milk, and so then you need meat. So you don't need somebody else to feed you constantly. You can grow up and feed yourself. So it's kind of the whole mindset is to keep you kind of like a silly child going there, and you're going there to listen to Daddy tell you how to interpret the Bible. And we're supposed to help people grow in the things of God, not keep them in bondage to ourselves just because we want to earn a living.
Yes, and the Bible says grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not in the great, not you don't grow in money. You don't grow in material possessions. That's not what the Bible says. It says your life shouldn't consist in the abundance of things that you possess. And there's an emphasis placed on that in many circles. Your blessing, you know, your level of blessing is determined by what you own. Things that you cannot take with you, they're not eternal.
Right.
That's what's important, what's eternal. Not the temporary that's here. And for the storehouse, The storehouse was where the tithes were stored. Tithes were always agricultural, always. If you go to Nehemiah 12:44, it says, and at the same time some were appointed over the rooms of the storehouse for the offerings, the first fruits, and the tithes, to gather into them from the fields. Nothing about money. Nothing about a church. The church wasn't established until the book of Acts. So how can
right.
you link tithes to that? I just wanted to go over, you know, this portion here that's always
emphasized. Oh, yeah, that would be great. Because
in Malachi.
They can
go
and look them up after.
Yes.
Go ahead.
3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. Okay, you have to go back in Malachi to see who he's speaking to. He's speaking to the priests. 1:6 says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name, you offer defiled food on my altar. He didn't say you offer defiled money. He said food. The tithe was always consumed. It was always edible products that you could eat. And it says you are cursed with a curse. If you go, what I think is really interesting, to Nehemiah 10:28-29, which is something that I came across. One second, Ezra and Nehemiah. 10:28-29. Okay. I ask anyone who's listening, please pay attention here, and you will learn something about this curse that God is talking about. Now, the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the Nethinim, and all those who had separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone who had knowledge and understanding. This is the key, verse 29. These joined with their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the law our Lord, and his ordinances and his statutes. So they didn't, if you're robbed according to the law, then a curse will come upon you. That doesn't apply to us. And that's, they use this scripture as a hammer to beat them over their head.
Yeah.
With
they've
it, and then yes,
job.
And then it's no longer giving from the heart; it's giving out of fear, and it's
yeah.
not even scriptural. Galatians
no,
3:13: Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law,
yeah.
having become a curse for us. Jesus
the
said,
fear
"It is
not
finished."
Even of God.
He didn't
it's
say,
not even of God."
Yes, he didn't say, "I still have some unfinished business." He said, "It is
yes.
finished." When you come to Christ, it's you do not have to keep the law. You don't have the capacity to do it.
No.
You don't.
No. They couldn't. Look at Israel. God gave them a king. When they left Egypt, he gave them manna from heaven. He gave them everything. And yet they still disobeyed him. There was no way people could keep the law. And we know even most of us that have been born again, we know how we were before we were born again. We couldn't
yeah.
hardly do anything right. We were so messed up. And it's only when Jesus Christ comes into your life and changes your life that you can really, your life changes and you want to do the right thing. And, of course, God does have laws. He does have, he has to have order. And he,
yeah.
there is a right and wrong. So, yes, we know that. But it's this whole thing, it's really been used to abuse people. And you see it so much on what they call Christian television, which hardly is Christian anymore, with all most of it is only constant fundraising to tell you that God Almighty himself sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. But yet, when we accept salvation, we don't go and give an offering to get our salvation. We just say the prayer, we accept Jesus into our life, and it's done. But yet, They want to tell you that the only way you can get God to give you money is to give him money first.
Yes. You're not giving it to God. You're giving it to them.
Yeah, exactly. But they always make it real spiritual, right?
Yes.
Oh, you're giving it to God. And, of course, God doesn't need any money, so what's he going to do with it anyway?
And God doesn't need a building either.
No.
What does Acts say? God does not dwell in temples made with hands. You know, we revere this the building when you are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So God does not command us to build these beautiful edifices for what? He doesn't need that. God is looking for individual worship, an individual relationship. Someone else cannot receive Christ for you. You know, oh, this is a group. They can receive Christ for me. No. God is looking for unity, and there is no unity in this. It becomes selfish. It becomes deceptive. And that's what's happening now. And a lot of people are suffering because of the false teaching on tithing. And
well,
if you look at
that.
Churches, if you look at those who don't tithe, there, or even churches that don't tithe, they're not doing. It's not that they're, you know, they're poor and impoverished. There are some churches that don't teach tithe. I know a pastor who doesn't teach it, and the churches in the, I would say, prosperity gospel, a lot of them teach it.
Yeah.
Those people are not doing any better than anyone else. So how is it so beneficial?
Yeah, it's
so
true,
you have to look
most,
at that, compare it.
Most people in churches and most Christians are in debt. So even if they've been tithing since they were born again, and in order to have church membership in some churches, you have to sign a paper that you will tithe.
And they want your W-2s also. And they want to know how much you make. And in order to be in leadership, you have to tithe. None of this is biblical. And I think that is the big problem. Sister Susan, we're not reading. We're not going to God to ask him, is this scriptural? God does not go outside of his word.
No.
Then it can become cultic and spooky.
Well, it does become cultic because you can see, and it's like the Bible says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?
Yeah.
And even I fell under that spell, and I don't know how I don't know how it was so goofy, but I wanted to do everything God said for me to do, and I wanted to please him, and of course I wanted to bribe him, because it is really paying a bribe to God if you have to give him an offering to get him to do something for you. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just like they have these Eastern gods, these Buddhas, and people are bringing their incense and their flowers and their food so that the God will do something for them. But it's the same thing that people are doing and making a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ to actually believe that. We have to give him money in order for him to do something for us. And it has created a church of selfish people.
Yes,
where,
it has.
As you said, the building becomes more important than the individual.
Yeah.
And I've seen so many abuses where there could be people sitting in the congregation who have tremendous needs. Maybe they lost their job, or maybe the husband is sick or the wife is sick and they don't have enough money to pay their medical bills, or they can't make their house payment, and yet the church won't help them.
No.
And because they're too busy building the building. And I heard one evangelist say the other day, well, I was going to a church, and he's a piano player, a singer and a piano player, and they did not have a piano for him. So they rented him a piano for $7,000 just so he could come and play the piano.
Oh my
now, that's
gosh.
Really a way to put tithes to good use, isn't it? So it just becomes ridiculous. And you can't hear from God for yourself. I mean, God forbid that God should tell you to give your money to somebody besides the pastor. You know, that is just not done.
Oh, they'll tell you that's not what the tithe is for. It's not It's for the church. It's not, and of course, we are the church. We are the body of Christ, but that's not what they tell you. You know, and unfortunately, who can live in those buildings? No one.
Nobody.
And the only one,
for the
only
most part, they're empty. They're only usually being used maybe one night a week and on Sunday morning, and the rest of the time the $50 million or the $100 million
yes.
building is empty.
Yes. And they're huge.
Beings.
Huge buildings that can house people. Huge, huge buildings. And, you know, they don't tell you who the tithe is going to. I mean, you know the pastor's getting paid. But there's a whole staff there. And I spoke with someone, and I mentioned this before to you, who worked security for 10 years for Paula White and her husband. And
uh-huh.
he said they taught him everything not to do. That's what he learned from them. This is what you don't do when you go into ministry. And he said 85% of the tithes and offerings went to staff. 85%.
Yeah. So they
and
were really
just,
eating.
It's not
they
biblical.
Were really eating the fat. They're really eating the fat of the land. But that's. I really couldn't understand it myself. Being in full time ministry for many years, like I was, and being in the Word of Faith movement, and I didn't have a heart to treat people like that. I mean, as goofy as I was with the tithing and the seed sowing and that kind of thing, I just knew it was wrong to abuse people in the area of finances. I don't understand. It's like you have to lose your conscience. Or you kind of like have to be handed over to a reprobate mind or something when you take advantage of people the way they're doing.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. And, you know, for those listening, just think about it. Who is benefiting from this teaching? Only the ones that teach it. They're
yes,
the
only
the ones that are benefiting
yes.
from it. They're the
That's
only
right.
ones, and if you look at a lot of these churches, the pastor does not even live in the area where the church is. They drive off to the suburbs, yet they leave this impoverished congregation. But they come back to get the money bag and leave.
That's it.
And it's sad,
now, Robin,
but it's true.
What about the first fruits? I know this is a very, very popular teaching, is the first fruits. Now, what exactly is first fruits?
We are the first fruits. First fruits is not an offering. If you go to, I hope I get this right here, 1 Corinthians, I believe it's, 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. So we are the first fruits along with Christ. So how did this ever become money? In the Old Testament, actually, I can't really refer you to the exact scriptures, but give me 1 second. I believe it's in Deuteronomy for first fruits. It was always just a small, it's only just a small portion. And it's food also. It was never money. And if you ask them, they cannot show you in the Bible where that was ever money. It was never, ever money. And actually, first fruits is one of the feasts of Israel.
Yeah.
So what did they
do?
Well,
there's even some teachers teaching now that you have to give this first fruits offering. And
you know, Sister Susan, it goes back to Galatians. If you're not going to keep all of the law, you can't keep any of it. That is part of the law. Orthodox Jews still celebrate the feast. They don't have Christ. They don't believe in Christ. So this is what they do. But that has no place in the New Testament church. And if you ask someone who teaches that, where in the Bible does it say that first fruits is money? they cannot show that to you. Give me, you, if you just ask, give me scripture for what you teach, of course you'll be villainized and probably kicked out. But
oh, yeah.
You have to be
well,
ready
they
for
say that.
That
it's the first of everything.
No, it's not. Where? Give me scripture for that. You know, a good teacher can accept questions.
Yes, a good teacher can accept questions. So if your pastor won't let you ask him a question,
I say he's corrupt.
Yeah,
they can't, you know, they're like, no, they don't want you to ask them that. And I was reading a blog where someone was speaking about tithing, and she said, it was a pastor's wife. She said, my husband will read everything else, but when it comes to tithing, he doesn't want to hear anything. He'll accept questions on any other subject. Why do you think that is? Because you're messing with his money.
Yeah, don't
he doesn't
want
to hear. If I don't hear the truth, then I'm not responsible and accountable for it. I can teach it any way I'd like.
Well, I think it's the irony of it all, too, is that many of these so-called word of faith teachers,
yes.
They want you to. They're going to teach you how to live by faith, and but they can't live by faith themselves because they only can live by 10%.
Yes.
I would like to. This is my challenge for all of you out there, Creflo Dollar and Mike Murdoch and Kenneth Copeland and a whole bunch of you, is that you quit asking people for money to send you money and to send you tithe money. Let's see how you live by faith. Let's see it.
But they say,
trying to teach me something you don't know about yourself.
Yes. But they'll say they give. Sure, you can give a million when you're getting 50 million.
Well, yeah.
Sure, you can give a million.
What's a million? When you're getting 50 million or 100 million or 150 million, some of them are taken in a year. TBN itself is worth over $1 billion. They're giddy with greed.
Yeah.
They just don't know what other building to buy and what other building to build and with all the money people are sending in, when you can look around you in your own neighborhood, maybe there's somebody that actually has a need that you can bless somebody, and you can do it anonymously. But we noticed how they're always bragging about all the things that they give and all the things that they get.
That's the deception.
Yeah.
What is it to give away a car that's $30,000 when you get $100 million?
Yeah.
Well, big deal. But that's the whole deception. You're like, oh, yeah, they're giving to the community. They're actually not doing anything. If you're doing it once a year, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
You have single parents. You have people who are struggling. Unemployment is at an all-time high. People are really in need now. And they're not making a sacrifice to give to them. Actually, they don't really care.
No. There was a few weeks ago, there was a story about a home where if single mothers don't have a place to live, they'll take them in, and they'll actually give them a room and a place for them to be with their baby and themselves. And so they said, well, we don't have enough money. They were showing the inside of the building of their house that they have for these mothers and their babies, and it was falling apart.
Wow.
And they said, it's so hard for us to raise money to keep this thing going. And, you know, there's got to be hundreds of churches in the area, and yet you see that they don't really care about the homeless shelters and here's a home for mothers with young children.
They'll tell you they don't tithe. That's why they're like that.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I've heard that. It sounds so pathetic.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when I finally, God really, you know, I cried out to God for the truth, and he showed me, I had to literally repent. I was crying and crying and crying because guess what? I was telling people the same thing.
Oh, yeah. I did, too. I actually believed in tithing for the first 15 years of my Christianity. I've been born again for 31, so I did finally get out of it. But I told people the same thing about tithing and about sowing seeds, and you know, God had to wake me up. He gave me a good wake-up call, and got me out of my stupor. And I realized that any parent out there knows that when your child asks you for something, you would do anything for that child. And
yes.
You don't ask the child to do something for you first in order to prove their love to you. And how much more does our Heavenly Father love us that he sent his Son Jesus Christ to die for us and to pay such an awesome price? And yet we think that there was someone on TV last night, and he was telling people that, okay, well, you see that, oh, yes, you can pray and ask God to give you money, but you have to mix it with faith. And the faith part is when you sow a seed and you show God that you're really sincere.
Okay, we're going
to
put
in other words, you have
this
to make a sacrifice for God to do something when the sacrifice has already been paid.
Yes, yes. And we need to clarify what the seed is because
yes.
There's this doctrine. They've made a whole doctrine, a false doctrine, out of sowing seed.
Yes.
If you go to Mark 4:14, I'm not going to read, it's the parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God. The sower
yeah.
sows the word, not money. That's what God is talking about. He's not the seed. Show me where seed is money in the Bible. Another question.
It's not there.
It's not there. It's another twisted doctrine for profit. That's what it is. And it's sad, you know, and... You know, Sister Susan, those of us who have sat there, who are still sitting there, we're accountable. We're accountable, and we have to take responsibility for this and what we're not only receiving, but what we're perpetrating on others.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and
absolutely.
Biblical tithing was never done to get something back from God or to be the equivalent of a Christian lotto. It just, that's not the purpose of tithing. It was always done to honor God. And you're not honoring God, you know, and what they do, you can jump up and wave it. And you know, God loves
that.
A cheerful giver.
I used to do that, hold my money up in the air.
You know, and you try to put your hand higher than the next
person.
You know.
Us. I was like, oh, please. Like, you know, God just sitting up there saying, oh. My children.
Yes, yes. And, you know, there is, and we're not saying we want people to understand, we're not opposed to giving.
No.
But it's giving biblically.
From the heart, out of love.
2 Corinthians, yes, 8 and 9. That is the New Testament pattern for giving. Paul wrote 13 books, Sister Susan, 13 books. Why didn't he command us to tithe in any of them?
Yes.
Why?
Well, they tell you that tithing's in the New Testament.
Oh, yes, it's in the New Testament. It's in Matthew 23:23. Again, when Jesus was speaking to, I believe it was the Pharisees, and he said, you tithe. Did he say you tithe money?
No.
You rue, mint, anise, and herbs.
Yes.
And remember.
That's what he said.
They're still under the law until Christ is resurrected. They
yes.
were still under the law. That wasn't spoken to us. But remember, he said, you leave the weightier matters undone. They don't read that part.
No.
Love, mercy, and faith.
Yes.
Love.
Yes.
God commands us to walk in love. You're
yes.
not walking in love toward the next person if you're holding what's called a tithe. And you see that person in need, and you don't help them, and you go and give it to the church.
Oh, no, I saw that. I saw that so many times, and it bothered me. It really, really bothered me when I saw that in the churches that I was attending where they were rich churches. And
yeah.
There were so many people that had so many great needs, and really through no fault of their own. Maybe they didn't have a good education and didn't have a good paying job, and they were trying. It wasn't like they weren't trying.
Yes.
But anybody could go through a crisis in their life.
Yes.
And have tremendous needs.
And especially
it's nice
now.
To know that, yeah, especially now. And it's nice to know that somebody is sitting next to you in church and maybe they can hear from the Holy Spirit without you having to say anything.
Yes.
And no, it's very, very abusive. It's an abusive church system. It is not of God. It's a religious system. This whole religious, this whole system of tithing and forcing people to give a certain amount of money to a pastor. Like we said, we're not opposed to giving, and you can give whatever the Holy Spirit directs you to give. You're free. You're not under bondage to these laws and these. They tell you that you'll be cursed, but you won't be cursed. Now I haven't
Christ
been tithing
already
for
took
15
care of
years,
the curse.
And I am not cursed.
Yes. Yes. Christ took care of the curse. He became a curse for us. And we have to remember that, Galatians 3:13. Read your Bible. Ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate what's already there. What is already there? You're reading this text over and over and over, and you still don't know what it means.
No.
The only interpretation you get is from a pulpit where someone's making a pitch with mixed with fear to get your money. And it's the that's the bottom line. Giving should be motivated by love.
By love.
Not fear. You know, it's grace giving now.
Yeah.
You give because you give because you love. You give out of a heart full of love. Not because you want something back.
Oh, amen.
And that's what, you know, that's the trap that we've fallen into. And
it takes a long time to break the habit, because it took me a long time. When I give something, I would even think to myself, "Oh yes, I'm going to give this. I'm going to get something back. I'm going to give this." So, and it took a long time for me to actually wash that stuff out of my head.
And you know what? It will still rise up, and you have to suppress it with the truth. You do. You have to suppress it with the truth, because the enemy knows that this is where you were. This is what you were so ingrained in for so many years. So he's going to come back to see if he can get in. And it's like, no, this is the truth. This is the truth. You know, just like the windows of heaven. The windows
of
heaven.
Yes, I was going to just ask you about
that.
That's
rain.
What is the windows of heaven?
The
what
windows
is God
of heaven
going to pour out
rain.
From the windows of heaven?
It pours out every... How often? Whenever it rains, the windows of heaven open. Okay, that's
now,
how
does
often.
Does money fall
you know.
Out of heaven? Does God rain down? Now, does He actually pour you out financial blessings out of heaven? He actually rains down money out of heaven.
I like to give scripture for what I say to support it. I said the windows of heaven is rain. Genesis 8:2, the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. You want to refute that? Call in.
Yes.
The rain, it's rain. That's all the windows of heaven are. Then you go to 7. They want to say, the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. Here we go. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights.
Wow. So anybody, please do a word study on windows.
Yes.
Or window. I will open. Because, you know, it says also that it is really talking about rain there in Malachi, if people are interested in reading it, because it talks about...
it's watering the crops. The rain waters the
crops,
because it's agricultural to bring forth the increase. And it has nothing to do with money. And no, you can't say, that's because it was an agricultural society. No, they had money then also. Because even
they like to say that. Well, they didn't really have money. Well, I see here, just like those scriptures I read from Exodus, they brought silver and gold, but they gave it willingly.
Yeah.
And that was when they gave actual money, was a willing offering for the tabernacle of the congregation. But it wasn't a tithe. It was free will giving.
Now, if you want to hear, you want, and some of them will probably say, they'll refute you and say, well, silver and gold is not money. Okay, I'm going to show you where it says money in Deuteronomy 14.
Oh, good.
And this is speaking about the festival tithe.
Okay.
We're going to start in 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat, not spend, before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe. Now, this is explaining what the tithe is, of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires. For oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. And he keeps placing the emphasis on this. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. So
you
there
would
was
want
money.
To be eating dollar bills, it would be very distasteful.
Yes. Yes.
But no, I've never. Somebody out there, please tell me. Has your pastor ever told you to eat your tithe? Now, give me a break.
No,
that,
he will
that
never
would
tell
never
you
happen.
That
would
he
never
will
happen.
Never.
They're going to tear those scriptures out of the Bible, and let's just forget it. I've actually had very good friends of mine get very angry at me when I say anything about the sacred cow of tithing, and they'll come back at me and say, "Well, you don't go to church anywhere, so that's why you don't tithe." Well, yes, I am the church. And I do assemble, we are assembling together right now and having church right now here on this broadcast.
Yes.
So, but I don't argue with them. I just tell them, look, you don't have to believe anything I say. Just go check
go
it out.
Go to the Word of God.
Word.
Yes.
If I'm
not
wrong,
your pastor,
that's fine.
The Bible.
I can be wrong.
Yes. Yes, because the Word of God is the final authority.
Don't tell me that I didn't read it. I read it, and don't tell me that it's not true what I read, because I read it.
And you have to ask yourself, where does it say that Jesus tithed? What was Jesus' occupation? He was a carpenter. What did Paul do? He was a tent maker. Everyone wasn't even obligated to tithe. So that's another question for the church. How do you know who's supposed to tithe and who isn't? That's a question that you can ask them. You know, and when you look at the tithe, and there's a scripture for it, it was every tenth of the flock that was supposed to be tithed. And it wasn't the first, they'll say, oh, it's the first off the top. Can you show me the IRS in the Bible? The gross and the net. You tithe off the gross. Where do you see the IRS in the Bible?
Oh, dear. Well,
questions for people to ask themselves. And we're not beating anyone over the head. If you choose to tithe, whatever you choose to do with your money,
that's on you.
But
once
you have the truth, you're responsible to walk in it.
That's right. Because
and not from our mouth, from the Word of God. Just check, check what we're saying. You know, and Paul, say, oh, the pastor, we're supposed to take care of the pastor. Paul had a job, Sister Susan.
Yeah, well, that's it. He said, he even told people, I don't want to be a burden to you. So when was the last time, like Joel Osteen said to somebody, look, don't bring me any more ties over here because I don't want to be a burden to you.
They don't
say these kind of things. They don't want to tell people these kind of things, but it's really amazing, Robin, because everybody's got a Bible.
Yeah.
And everybody is supposed to be reading their Bible for themselves, but it's so amazing how much deception there is and how we will go to church and we will, we're free, we're born again, we're supposed to be free, but yet we put ourselves back into bondage.
Yes. Yes. And what I, the scripture that I was, I want to just clarify is in Leviticus 27, speaking about starting at 32, and concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, again, not money, of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. How can you explain that and put money in there? You can't. You can't. Money, flock, herd, cattle are totally different. You know, and these are, we laugh now, Sister Susan, and thank God we can laugh now.
Now we can laugh, yeah.
But, you know, at one point, we've given so much to the church. One year, we gave $26,000. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money that your children or someone that really needed it.
Yes.
That could have even bought somebody a house somewhere, you know.
Yes. $26,000 to a church that you've been villainized at and they kick you out, basically.
I know.
You know. And you think about it, and it's like, where is the heart of God in any of this? Where is the love of the Father in any of this? That's what you
have to
ask.
Well, they actually tell
about.
People, and even people that are just living on fixed incomes or whatever, they actually tell them, look, you pay God first, and then you pay your rent and you pay your mortgage. And people actually will do without. I've seen people, I was at a Bible college, and I saw some of those Bible school students give everything away, and they came with cars and houses and bank accounts, and some of them left with nothing. And I thought to myself, how could the heads of these Bible colleges allow these preachers to come in and teach at these Bible schools and then take the students' money and take almost everything they own? And it was really criminal. I mean, it's really criminal. But we just have a few minutes left. We have about 7 minutes left here. And I just want you to pray for the people today, Robin, and to also encourage them with some of those scriptures that you brought out just to close out the program.
Yes. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And we thank you, Lord, and we believe that the Holy Spirit has spoken through us and spoken to this audience, and we pray, Father, that you will minister to them through your truth, your word. Your word is the final authority, Father God. And we pray, Father, that you will reveal the truth about tithing to them and the truth about giving in the New Testament church and the difference between the law and grace. And we know, Father, and we want everyone to understand that grace doesn't mean you do whatever you want to do. It's not a license to sin and do whatever you'd like. But, Father, you have shown us in your word. You've given us a pattern. Jesus is the example setter and not a pastor, not a man. It's Christ. And, Father, we ask you to just minister to every pastor that's teaching lies about tithing and robbing the congregations.
Yeah.
That you will so convict them, the type of conviction that will bring change, that they will cease in teaching the lies and the deception, Father. And we believe that you can do it. No one is beyond your reach, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And even those who feel stuck, who are walking in fear thinking that they're cursed and because their washing machine broke because they couldn't afford to tithe, and they run and give their mortgage money.
Yeah.
That you will reveal the truth to them, Father, that you love them.
Yeah.
You love them with an everlasting love. You love them with a great love, according to Ephesians. And that, Father, they will see that you are not sitting waiting to just pounce on someone because they don't give you a dollar.
Oh, yes, Lord.
reveal to them that your love is so vast that it's incomprehensible. And that all the seed sowing doctrine, those who are stuck in it, that you will reveal the truth of it, Father, in dreams and visions, however
yeah.
you see fit. You know how to reach each individual person, Father. And we pray, Lord, that you will help those who are struggling today, Lord God, who don't know what to do, Father, for their next meal. Yet they're holding on to their tithe because they're fearful.
Yeah.
That, Lord, your blessing is not dependent on how much money someone gives to a church.
Yes, Lord.
That you blessed us, you gave us Christ. You didn't charge us for Christ. You gave him to us. And that I pray that even as anyone that's listening will open your word, Father, that the scriptures that we've mentioned, that you will reveal the truth. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. And I pray that they will allow the Holy Spirit to teach them, even as they have boldness to go and ask their pastor questions, that they will not be hoodwinked by what they say, but what thus says the Lord, what the
yeah,
Word of God says.
Yeah.
And we thank you, Father, for this time to share your truth, to share your love, and
yes,
I pray that Susan and I will continue to walk in love, to speak the truth in love, and to let all that we do be done with love.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for your great love today.
Yes.
We thank the Father God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the precious Holy Spirit. And we want to let you know, everybody out there, that Jesus Christ loves you. He is alive.
Amen.
He rose from the dead. We all know, most people know, whether they believe Jesus is God or not. They know he was here. He walked in Israel. They know he died. Some call him a great prophet. But we know him as our Lord and Savior. And
yeah.
You can know him today, too, as your Lord and Savior. This is the purpose of this, main purpose of this program today, is to introduce you to Jesus Christ, the wonderful Savior who can change your life today. He has the answers that you need. He can get you out of that mess you're in, and just
Amen.
For the asking. So if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, you need to be born again. You're born first of your mother, but then you must be born again of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And that can happen by asking Jesus to come into your life
yes.
and to repent of your sins. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So get down on your knees today and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. Ask him to reveal himself to you and make himself real. He will. He's done that for me, and he's done that for Robin.
Yes.
We know him. We love him. We know how he's changed our life, and he's made something beautiful out of our life, that no matter what we have to go through on this earth, that we're going to get through it with his help. We can't do it without his help. And most of you that are trying to do it without God's help are doing it with alcohol or sex or drugs, and that's not working. So accept Jesus Christ today. Ask him if he's real, to reveal himself to you. And he will, I guarantee
yes,
you.
Yes, he will.
Well, Robin, I want to thank you. It was a great program, very informative.
Yes, you're so welcome, Sister Susan.
And I always appreciate all your kind words. And you're a great blessing to the body of Christ. We thank God for you and your ministry.
Thank you.
And your beautiful family. So we'll be talking soon, okay?
Okay. God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye. We want to thank you all today for tuning in and for being a part of this broadcast, because we want to help people. We love people. We want people to enjoy their freedom in Christ. So tune in again on Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. The program is Prophetic News. And have a great day, okay? God bless you all.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. for God above. Oh, I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to the city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.